This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Folks, we're going to take a look at this next story about reality TV. There's an article in Slate.com in the culture section, and it brought to light, I guess, some of the least flattering aspects of how television is sometimes produced. What's the story here, Uma?
Okay, so I came across, well, there have been multiple articles on reality TV of late, right? Recently, there was an article about The Bachelor and how they were tracking women's menstrual cycles. Mm-hmm. While the show was filming, right? I mean, that in itself is just quite appalling. But I came across an article about a month ago about MasterChef because it's one of our favorite shows.
Yeah.
And it was a really disturbing piece.
What did you find out?
Just because it was essentially about how you take all of these people and put them in this pressure cooker situation.
Yes.
With very, very little regard for the mental toll that it actually takes. I mean, two seasons ago, I'm not saying MasterChef caused this, but two seasons ago, the runner-up actually committed suicide.
I did not know this.
Right? I mean, because I think he had a history of depression and mental issues anyway. But the pressure cooker situation of MasterChef...
On top of that,
and the way they actually play people and individuals and use them for... good TV to produce great drama.
So this was
like a tell-all expose. It was called "I Am a MasterChef Survivor." That was the name of the article.
And so, I guess when you think about, I guess the approaches of television production, producers are always looking at who's going to make an interesting character. What are their particular bugbears when it comes to dealing with moments of stress?
And also, how do they use you as an individual, right? Because, you know, every season starts with those tryouts, right? And then they'll have a whole bunch of people going in one-on-one.
Yeah.
And here's the interesting thing. A lot of the time they pick the winners beforehand, but they will tell you, you're going to lose, but you're a good candidate to go up against this person because you will create good drama against this person.
Oh, wow. Really sort of crushes the ceiling and the magic. So there's also that saying about no publicity is bad publicity, and
it
seems to work in the context of, I guess, one of the finales of The Bachelor, which made the rounds on the internet recently. So if you don't already know, The Bachelor is, of course, a reality TV show on dating and relationships. And it's centered around one dude, who, of course, is The Bachelor. And netizens have come out to criticize the producers for airing a breakup conversation between The Bachelor and the winner. And so they questioned if the show had gone too far this time in trying to engage audiences through an individual, specifically the girl's suffering. And the viewership for the episode said something more.
Yes, because we're sick puppies as well. The finale saw a spike in viewership as compared to the season average.
Oh, wow.
It drew an audience of 7.8 million viewers in a rating of 2.2, which is compared to the season average of 6.2 million viewers and a rating of 1.7. Now, it seemed that this problematic breakup scene actually worked to attract the audience that the studios wanted, right?
And we're voyeurs.
That says something about us.
Yes. We'll hear from a psychologist. So we're crossing over to Joel Lowe, director and clinical psychologist at The Mind Psychological Services and Training. Joel, thank you for being with us on the evening edition. Why do people feel schadenfreude or pleasure derived by someone from another person's misfortune?
I think I can't pronounce the words, so I'm not even going to try. But I think the reason why people are like they revel or they enjoy the misery of other people is because sometimes it's as simple as it's not me, you know. As a long-suffering Arsenal fan, for example, whenever we used to see another football team like Tottenham not doing so well, we enjoy that because it's not us, right? Obviously, being on the receiving end of them, it's not as appealing or as enjoyable. And if we put that back to the reality TV genre, I think the reason why instances like this or events like this, such as when bad things happen to the people in the reality TV series, it's enjoyable because, it's not enjoyable so much, but it's interesting or it draws attention because it's a bad thing that's happening and it's not happening to me, I suppose. That's one of the explanations possibly why that happens in that sense. And I think another reason why that sells in reality TV is because it's drama, people generally like to experience drama, especially when it's not happening to them, and it just sparks a human interest aspect when they want to find out what happened, what's going on, and it's a sense of curiosity, I suppose.
And do you think these tendencies are universal to the human population?
I don't think it's universal. I don't think everybody enjoys it. But I think a large enough group of people do enjoy it so much that it makes sense for the producers and directors to play that up, I suppose. And I guess if we're just looking purely at reality TV shows, right, the whole point of these shows, I think it's important to remember, is to increase ratings and increase viewership. And people are not going to watch something that's mundane or boring or run-of-the-mill, I suppose. And unfortunately, this is the direction they're taking it, like, in that sense. Like, and it sounds, as sad as it sounds, right? It sounds because it gets people's interest, people are interested in, about it, and that's why it happens, I suppose.
Joel, thank you very much for joining us. That was Joel Lowe, Director and Clinical Psychologist at the Mind Psychological Services and Training. And, you know, I must say, in almost this frantic ratings war, at least in, you know, in the West, where every attempt to amplify the existing emotions and frantic behavior of you know, these participants is there's got to be a line, because the price is just too much, isn't it?
Well, you say there's a line, so I'm going to read you a bit from this article about MasterChef, and this is a bit of the tell-all, right? So in the MasterChef contract, which a casting director later told me was essentially identical in those of most reality competition shows, they asked me, wait for this, to agree to be subjected to physical and mental stress, distress, to agree to have my medical history used in any way they wanted to use it in perpetuity, to agree that my family would likely not be contacted in case of an emergency.
What?
They asked me to release the show and its employees from liability for any injury to myself from both risks known and unknown. They asked that I release them from liability from the social and economic losses that could result, and to please note that the consequences could be substantial and could permanently change the future for me, my family, and significant others. And this is the best part. They asked me to agree to pay a 15% management fee to a company called One Potato, Two Potato, owned by Gordon Ramsay. This fee would then apply to any income or even gifts I received in any context potentially related to the show.
I mean, it's
insane.
It's a deal with the devil.
It is.
Right.
But I think people sign it because they think, well, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be famous. It's TV. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be watched by millions of people all over the world.
Well, tell us, what are your thoughts about reality TV? Call us at 03-7710-9000. Robert Palmer with Bad Case of Loving You, Dr. Doctor on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.